Well, hey, everybody, come on in. Time for church to start. It's good to see you this morning. Kind of a rainy morning, but we kind of need the rain, don't we? Yeah? How about this? Let's stand up on our feet this morning. Live streamers, wherever you're watching from, it's good to have you. Well, I'm excited to be with you today because we get to worship together. And how many of you know there's just something special about a group of people that come together and worship Jesus together? Amen? And that's why we're here today. So let's worship Him together and let's see what God will do with us today.
Belongs to you. And by your blood I'm Seas into highways. You're the only one who cares. ground no matter where I go. I don't need to worry now that I know everything I need you got. There's honey in the rock, purpose in your plan, power in the blood and healing in your hands. Start it flowing when you said it is done. Jesus, everything you did is enough. There's honey in the rock. Ooh, there's honey in the rock. There's honey in the rock. There's honey in the rock. Oh, how sweet it is to trust in you, Jesus. Oh, how sweet it is to trust in you, Jesus. Oh, how sweet it is to trust in you, Jesus.
How about we see that song was taken from the Psalms. It's about the provision of God. Yeah. God provides for us in all aspects of our life, does he not? Yes. How about we raise our hands and just worship him for his provision? We thank you, Jesus, for our salvation. Yes. We thank you, Jesus, for our forgiveness. We thank you, Jesus, for the provision that we need every single day, this day our daily bread. We thank you for going in front of us and being behind us, Lord. We praise you for your protection in our lives, Lord. As we live this life, Lord, we know that you're with us in all things, making a way in all things. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. How about just for a few moments, you go greet somebody, say hi to somebody, love on somebody, and we'll be back to take up our tithe and offering in just a second.
But you lied to me.
Well, amen. It's good to have you this morning. We're glad you're with us today. If you're watching online, it's good to have you online. If you could have made it here, though, I'd encourage you to be here, but I'm glad you did join us online. We're going to take up tithe and offering. If you have offering envelopes and chairs in front of you, if there's not one there, wave your hand around. The ushers will help you out. They also have prayer cards, okay? So if you have a prayer need, please ask for one of those and fill it out and turn that into myself or one of the ushers. And we'd love to join in with you in your faith in the things that you're praying about, because we believe God hears. Amen? Amen. As we're taking up tithe and offering in just a second, let me remind you, and I have not been doing a good job of talking about this, so I need to do a good job today. In two Sundays, we take up our annual Thanksgiving offering, okay? And we'll have yellow envelopes starting next week for that. And every year, we take up an annual offering the Sunday before Thanksgiving, and it's always designated to a project in the church that we're trying to get done. This is above your tithe, and it's only if the Lord puts it on your heart to do something. There's no obligation to this, but if you are wanting to do that, prayerfully consider what you can give. And the monies that come in this year are designated. If you noticed, not long ago we put a new sound system. Right before that, we got a new computer for everything that runs up here. That was outdated and not working well. And the last bit of what we need to do to finish our kind of our tech upgrade is we need to get a new live stream camera, okay? And that's what the funds for the Thanksgiving offering goes towards. That thing is old, it's analog. And a lot of times what happens is before people visit a church, they'll watch live stream first. And if your live stream looks like junk, they ain't gonna come. And it's not that our live stream looks like junk, but it could be better. Yes. Because that camera's as old as me, I bet. And not really, but. And also the positioning of it's really bad. It's actually one we'll purchase that'll go on the back wall. So it's right up here. And actually it can be worked with a toggle. You can move and zoom it and just make everything look better. So that's the last bit of our tech upgrade. So our Thanksgiving offering is going to go towards redoing that system. So that's in two Sundays. So if that interests you and the Lord puts on your heart to give towards that, we'll take up that offering as a separate offering the Sunday before Thanksgiving. So just to make you aware about that. So having said that, let me pray over your giving today, and then you can bring it forward when I'm done. So Lord, we give today with full expectation in our heart in knowing that you are our provider. And we give as an honoring to you, a response to your goodness and your faithfulness, as you are in all things. And we thank you for that. So as we give today, Lord, we simply just glorify you and honor you for how you have been in our life in faith that you're going to be the same way going forward. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, we all say, amen. Amen. Bring it on down. And as always, we have several announcements for you. And so let me get through these. Don't forget, next Sunday, your Christmas shoeboxes are due. So Bill and Patsy, if you have questions about that, please see them. But that's next Sunday, they're due. Also, next Sunday, right after church, is Next Steps. So if you've been coming here and you're considering making this your home church, your family of faith, Next Steps is for you. And so it's about an hour long right after church, just explaining more about our church, the structure of the church, the history of the church, and some different things that we find important as a church. It's just time for you to get to know me. I'll be there, and for me to get to know you a little bit. There's a sign-up sheet in the back for that. So if you're going to be here for that next Sunday, please sign up so we know you're coming. Also, Noelle's back there. Throw up the screen for the Love Your Marriage thing, if you would. This is going to go on the screen after church today, right when service is over. That's going to go up. Every year in February, we have a night called Love Your Marriage, where we strengthen marriages and talk about marriages. But I have one question on a survey for you, as we, believe it or not, are starting to prepare for Love Your Marriage in February. So please, right after church, when this goes up, take a moment, hit the QR code. It takes you to a one-question survey that will help me out, all right? Then, Noel, throw up the slide for the guests. So if you're a guest with us today, or if you've been with us and you haven't filled out a Connect card, here's a new way to do it. So if you're a guest, you can sign in on a Wi-Fi. Just go to hook in on it. It'll bring you up to a guest. You'll be signed in. And then I'm going to leave this up until announcements are over, okay? And go ahead and click on that. It'll take you to Connect card, and that will get emailed to me. and that'll just help us out. And running paper around and stuff, this just makes life easier. And I'm all about that. So if you're a guest or you've never filled out a Connect card, go ahead right now, hold your phone up, take a picture of that, go to that website and take a moment to fill that out. Now, while you're doing that, men's breakfast, Saturday the 23rd, it's a week from this Saturday, 9 a.m. right here. All I know is Tom's bringing biscuits and gravy. I like that. And we're going to come together and enjoy some time together. So men's breakfast, Saturday the 23rd at 9 a.m. There's a sign-up sheet there in the back for that. Also, the Women's Cookie Exchange. We're already doing December announcements. That's December the 7th. Okay, it's actually at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. A little bit of a different time. So there's a sign-up sheet back there for that. And if you have questions, you can see Margo. All right. And there's a deadline by the end of the month for this so they can tell you how many cookies to bake based on the people showing up, however that works. Now, I want to ask something. Margo's going to bring the cookies she gets home. So what are my favorites? Anything with peanut butter in it. That's all. I just need to throw that out there. So you make something like that, so you bring it home to me. That would be great. I'd appreciate that. All right. And let me say one more thing, then we'll get our Bibles out. Don't forget, this new small group is happening, Cooking with Tish and Vinny. So Tish, wave your hand around. Vinny, wave your hand around. This is for young ladies, and it's actually a teaching time. So young girls to teach them how to cook. Oh, and boys, too. Okay, good. All right. And boys, I'm sorry, please. Gentlemen, show up too. And it is this coming Saturday, the 16th at 11 a.m. It's for 2 hours. And they said if anybody needs a ride, let them know. They'll help you out. And what they're going to be making Saturday, we're having for church breakfast the next day. So we have a light breakfast before church next Sunday. So come on out a little bit early for that. And there'll be some good food that they made. Now, if you're making stuff Saturday for Sunday, don't let the boys help. I'm kidding. It's going to be great. So that's next Saturday, this coming Saturday. And if you have questions, please see Tish or Benny. All right. Get your Bibles out. I was looking forward to our time in the Word today. We're going to be talking for the next 3 Sundays about generosity. And certainly, November is the month of that we celebrate Thanksgiving. And it's thankfulness for the provision of God for our country and for ourselves personally. But in the midst of thinking about Thanksgiving, and Margo and I have already talked about what we're going to eat on Thanksgiving. Even though it's the same thing every year, we still talk about it, right? So we do a turkey, thumbs up. We do stuffing, thumbs up. We do green bean casserole, thumbs down. We do, dude, green bean casserole is a bunch of crunchy green beans with some sort of mushroom what thrown in it. I don't even know what the point is. Anyways, corn pudding, thumbs up. Yeah. And then I make homemade bread, so that's always thumbs up. So anyways, you know I have some skills you didn't know about. Anyways, so Thanksgiving's coming. But in the midst of our thankfulness, listen, we as believers, we're called to be generous. Amen? So even though generosity is not strictly about people in need, I do want to talk about that a little bit this morning. Do you know that around us in society, there will always be those who are struggling? Sometimes it's a certain season of life, sometimes it's ongoing. See, it's facts of life. The Bible says that God is always drawn to the poor and those in need. And here's the thing. Economic systems, even the best, and we believe in America, the free market society that we live in, capitalism, we think is the best way to go. Even in the best economic systems, you end up with people who have and people who have not. And if you look in the Bible, if you really look at the scriptures, it really is people who have and people who have not, and there's not much in between. So we find people around us that are in need. So even in a land of opportunity, it doesn't always work out for everybody. And there's a lot of different reasons people end up in need. Sometimes it is a combination of decisions. Sometimes things just fall apart. Sometimes it's things out of your control. But be honest, not everybody can simply just pull themselves up by the bootstraps and make it. That's just honesty. So Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 20. We're going to hit some. We actually have a lot of scriptures to walk through today. So Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 20, the first four are going to pull from the wisdom, the precepts of the Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 20. It says, the poor is disliked even by his neighbor, but the rich has many friends. The poor are disliked even by their neighbor, but the rich have many friends. And that proverb is true. And let me tell you something. The poor are not a problem to solve. They are people to love. Now, there are problems to solve about the poor and those in need, certainly. But when you see them as simply a problem to solve, then you'll see them as a problem. People are people to love. And people that experience all sorts of different things in life, you have to be careful of just seeing somebody as a problem. So the poor aren't a problem to solve, they're people to love, right? So Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 5, if you'll turn there, says this: whoever mocks the poor insults who? His maker. Who is that? God. You mock the poor, you insult God. But he who is glad at calamity, in other words, you're glad when bad things happen to other people, will not go unpunished. You know how often it's easy to fall into a trap to mock those that are in need? Simply broad brush paint them all as just a bunch of lazy leeches in society. If they would just get out and do something, they wouldn't be this way and I wouldn't have to help them. And we end up mocking those in need. And you didn't know it, but the whole time you're mocking them, you're mocking God, who made them in his image. And if we have time, we'll close up today. So when you give somebody a drink, the least of these, who are you giving it to? Him. Is that right? You must be careful how you categorize, politicize, whatever you want to say, those that are in need. Be careful. They're not a problem to solve, but they're people to love. See, generosity is what we are to be built into because our God himself is generous. It is a way of being that translates into a way of living. See, God is generous towards us in so many ways. And it goes beyond just finances. He's generous towards us in so many ways. And we are to be like him. But here's what I know. Generosity is simply not our nature a lot of times. And when you become generous, sometimes it's a little uncomfortable to give, right? But here's something I know about generosity. You always feel better when you do it. Yes. You know what I'm talking about? Something to be built into in your life. Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 17. Proverbs 19, 17. A couple chapters over. It says this: whoever is generous to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will repay him for his need. See that? When you are generous to somebody in need, you're lending to the Lord, and the Lord is the one who will repay you. By the way, never be generous to somebody expecting something back. It is God who repays you, and that's good. This whole business is part of storing up treasure in heaven. God who repays you, right? So yes, to be generous to the poor, we don't mock them, we don't categorize them, but we're generous. God will honor that. One more, Proverbs chapter 11. Jump back in verse 25. Get your Bibles a workout today. Proverbs 11, 25. I'm going to read this here in the ESV, but I'm going to show you the NIV. It says, whoever brings blessing will be enriched, and one who waters will himself be watered. In other words, you reap what you sow. The NIV says, a generous person will prosper, and whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. The golden rule, right? Jesus said this, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And he said, this is an amazing statement that he follows this up with. This is the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. That's a mouthful right there. You want to fulfill what the law says, and you want to fulfill what the prophets were after and what they were reminding the people of and what they were getting after the people of. You want to sum it up, do to others what you want them to do for you. If you refresh others, you yourself will refresh. It's called reaping and sowing. Whatever you want to reap in life, you need to do what? Sow. Yeah. Those around us. But here's the thing. I'm going to give you a couple points today of why I know that you can be generous. I'm going to give you a couple things. You're going to leave today with a couple thoughts in your mind of why you can be generous. Because I believe it or not, I've come across people who really don't believe they can be generous. And then they have their list of reasons why. I'm going to give you a couple reasons why you can't. Always look for a reason to say yes. It's easy to say no. Isn't that true? All right. Matthew chapter 6. Let's go to the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus teaching here. By the way, early next year, I think it's February or March or somewhere in there, we're going to start a series on Sundays on the Sermon on the Mount. And I'm looking forward to that. Matthew chapter 6. In verse 19, says this, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but instead, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there, watch, there your heart will be also. Because the eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? What's he talking about? Therefore, no one can serve two masters. But he will either hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. In other words, you cannot serve both God and what? Right. So next Sunday, we're going to talk about greed a little bit. We're going to jump back to that. You can't serve God and money. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life. Don't be anxious about what you eat or what you drink, nor about your body, what you will put on, the clothes you wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. And are you not of much more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his lifespan? Why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these.
But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? Watch this. Oh, you of little faith. In other words, don't be distracted from what God has said. Therefore, do not be anxious, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles, the pagans, those who don't know God, seek after these things. And your heavenly Father knows you need them all. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, don't be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is his own trouble. So here's what I want to pull out of this. And Noel, it's that first slide. Please throw that up. I can be generous. Everybody say I. I can be generous because God is my provider. You see that? That's why you can be generous. Because what did we just read there? Why are you worried about all the stuff that you need? Now look, I get it. You go through times. Money's tight. Inflation's up. Doesn't seem like it's stretching far enough, right? In that, always know that God is the one who will provide. If you seek his kingdom first, he will add all these things unto you. And all these things unto you is what Jesus is talking about, the things that you need. Why are you worried about the food you're going to eat? Why are you worried about the clothes you're going to wear? Don't be anxious about these things. In other words, Jesus says, those who don't know God, the pagans, they run after these things. They seek to have them. It's what drives and motivates their life. But those of you that are in Jesus, not you, rest assured that God will provide. And when you rest assured that God will provide, then you will be generous. But see, the moment that you live in anxiety about the things that you need, the moment you are preoccupied with gaining material things, it will be hard to be generous. It will be hard to be generous. Do you realize one of the biggest ways that God provides for somebody in need is the generosity of somebody else? And if we're all too wrapped up in what can I get, what can I own, worried about all the stuff that I can get my hands on, you won't simply be generous in life. See, when I trust that God is my provider, it puts my heart at ease. Now, certainly we can be foolish in generosity. There's no lack of wisdom when we do these things. But yet, we are to be people who are generous with what we have. So when Margo and I were first married, I was a youth pastor at a church in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. Carlisle is a trucking hub. Like, you look out on the road, there's a zillion semis that drive by in that intersecting that town all day long. It's a trucking hub of the East Coast, Northern East Coast, right? And the church was right on one of the main runs. It was actually an old barn that was renovated into a church. I was a youth pastor there. And my office, when you walked in the main door, my office was the first office right there. Now, here's what you need to know about a trucking hub. There's all sorts of homeless and whatever traveling those hubs, right? So it's a pretty consistent turn that there's just people walking into the church looking for help, wanting money, place to stay, whatever. My office being the first office, guess who always saw them first? Now, let me tell you something. At that time in our life, we didn't have much. I don't remember. I think as a youth pastor, I was making $13,000 a year. Think about that. Now, this was 1994, 1996, so finances were a little different back then, but still. Margot worked until she had Ryan, our firstborn. She worked for the state insurance there, and we had great insurance. It was wonderful, right? We just didn't have a lot of stuff. I shared with you before, our apartment was, I don't even think it was half this room, maybe a quarter of this room. You can almost long jump across the living room. Remember, I shared with you before, our bedroom didn't even have a door. It had saloon doors, didn't even have a regular door on it. Burnt orange, rust-colored, the 1970s, rug, paneling everywhere, wheat on the wall. We didn't even have a kitchen table. We sat down the floor and ate dinner on a cooler that we got for a wedding gift. We weren't living high. You know what I'm talking about. How often when one of those guys came in and asked for money, I just give him what I had in my pocket. You know what it would be? Like $3, $5. I don't carry cash. I even don't carry cash now. Didn't have cash to give. But I always just, whatever I had. See, we weren't well-to-do, but yet I was fully convinced that God would always provide. Therefore, I was never worried about that $5 that was in my pocket. How many know what I'm getting at? Now, somebody would say, well, you can't do that. You don't know if that guy went out and bought alcohol or drugs with that. That's not my worry. I can't be a private detective about this stuff. Yes, there's wisdom, I get it, but yet, to be generous. See, I think we find all the reasons to say no instead of finding reasons to say yes. And I'll tell you what, I don't look back on that time. By the way, just to say this, and this goes into the next thing we want to talk about. I don't look back at that time as bad times. I look back at it and kind of laugh fondly about it. Remember when we used to sit down at a cooler to eat our dinner? That was funny. It's just a good memory. And by the way, back then, she's an amazing cook and especially a baker. When we got married, it was bad. Look, all she could make were burritos. Three bean burritos, cheese burritos, To this day, I hate burritos. I'm just like, okay, look, can we just make something else here? Let's just... But good times. You see what I'm getting at? See, generosity supersedes where you're specifically at because it's a matter of your heart, right? So you can be generous because we know that God is our provider. And yes, there were tough times. Yes, if one of our cars broke down, we just didn't have the cash to throw it out there and get it done. And being very diligent, try not to do credit card debt, but still get by and all this different stuff. And yes, life's not always easy. But at the same time, the generous heart looks for a way, right? 1 Timothy chapter 6. I want to keep moving here. So the first thing is I can be generous because God is my provider. And here's something else I want to talk to you about. Here's the second thing. So we're going to look at maybe two or three scriptures concerning this. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse number 6. Paul, in a couple of these scriptures, and the writer of Hebrews brings up something that's very important. Now, it's not just for generosity, for simply how you live your life. 1 Timothy 6:6. But godliness, in other words, living like him, character that exemplifies godliness, with what? What's that next word? Contentment. Godliness with contentment is what? Great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we can't take anything out of the world. Watch this. But if we have food and clothing, with these we will be content. But those who desire to be rich, fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. Wow, that's pretty heavy. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and have pierced themselves with many pangs. Remember, you can't serve both God and money. And you have to be careful because the love of money, the desire of money, the want to have and have and have can be the root of all kinds of evil in your life. Godliness with contentment. What is contentment? Contentment is a state of satisfaction and peace in your heart. Characteristics that are Christ-like, godly, coupled with a satisfaction of what you have in life is actually great gain when everybody's trying to gain by having. Paul says, look, if you have food and you have clothes, be content. Be satisfied, right? Because when you start to desire more and more and more and more, you can fall into the temptation of money being root of evil in your life. And many people, by chasing after money, Paul says, have wandered from the faith. That's temptation, you see? So contentment is important. Here's a couple other scriptures that talk about. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15. Excuse me. Oh, right in the mic. Hebrews chapter 13. I apologize. And verse 15. Let me get a sip of water here. It says this. Hebrews 13, 15. Make sure I'm at the right scripture here. Through him, then let us continually offer up the sacrifice of praise to God. It is the fruit of lips that acknowledge him. Now watch. Do not neglect to do good. What? To share what you have. For such sacrifices are pleasing to God. You see, part of sacrifice in the way that we live, part of a sacrifice that honors God is to do what? Share what you have. Now look, back to the story. So I didn't have a lot, about $5 in my pocket, to simply share what I have is pleasing to him. It'd have been very easy to say, Lord, look, listen. You see my financial state. I'm making $13,000 a year. This $5 means something to me. I got to buy lunch. $5 of gas back then gets you kind of far, right? This means something. But a generous heart that's willing to share what you have, God counts it as a sacrifice to him. Whoever is generous to the poor lends to God. It is God who will repay you, right? One more. Chapter 4 and verse 10. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 10. Paul writes, I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Now that I'm speaking of being in need, watch this. For I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content, in a state of satisfaction. I know how to be brought low. I know how to abound. And in any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. Watch this. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. The context of that verse, and I've seen that verse used a lot. I can do all things through him who strengthens me so I can win the state championship in basketball. We've seen that used for all sorts of stuff. The context is, I can do all things whether I have or I don't have, whether I have abundance, whether I'm in need, whether I'm brought low, whether I'm, no matter the situation of the things that are in my hand in this life, it's okay. I can do all things because it's him who strengthens me here. You see that? So the second point is this. Noah, I'll throw the slide up. I can be generous because I'm content. I can be generous. God is my provider. I can be generous because I'm satisfied. I'm content with the things I have currently in my life. Now, let me just say something about that. First, the house we live in today is much, much bigger than the first apartment we had. Nothing wrong with that. The car that I drive today is much nicer than the car I drove when we got married. Nothing wrong with that. As long as these are not the obsessions that drive your life to a lack of generosity in how you live. My wife and I are saving up for retirement. I plan to retire someday. Thank the Lord. I plan on, whatever age it is, not having to go to a job every day. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with the plan and to put back. Nothing wrong with it. As long as it keeps you from being generous in how you live your life. See, these things that we do can't become the obsessions of how we live. So let me give you some things about generosity or contentment real quick. So if you have notes, write these down. Get ready. Here we go. When you are content, you will seek first the kingdom of God and not chase all the things everybody else chases. Kingdom things will be first in your life. When you are content, you will guard against greed. You'll guard against self-reliance. Watch this. You'll guard against busyness. All of these things are oriented on the self. When you are content, well, it will allow you to take time to rest. You won't have to work yourself to death to get what you want. In other words, you'll learn how to slow down. When you are content, you'll see the blessings of things you already have, and you won't take things for granted. See how contentment puts a perspective on your life? There's nothing wrong with having, as long as it's not the obsession. There's nothing wrong with increase, but what do you do with increase? See, I believe God has got a blessing, by the way. I believe God prospers. You know why I believe that? I believe that because every time I'm in need, I go ask him. So I believe he responds and does something. But I don't believe that those things are the ultimate goal of faith. It's what I chase with faith, what my faith's about is just to have God do things for me. That part of the reason God does bless is so I can do something with my blessing. Yes. To learn to be generous and not be worried about what more can I have. Amen? So I can be generous because I am content. Matthew chapter 25. If you'll turn there. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 31. It says this. When Jesus, the Son of Man, comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the who? All the nations. So this is the judgment of who? The nations, right? And he will separate people from one another as a shepherd separates sheep from the goats. He'll place the sheep on his right, the goats on his left. Then the King Jesus will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father. Oh man, there's some reaping going on here. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Watch this. What is the basis of this judgment? What is the basis of what you receive at this point? For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And Jesus, the King, will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these my brothers, you did it for me. You see that? Whoever mocks the poor also then insults the maker. Whoever is generous to those in need lends to the Lord, and he is the one who will repay you. You see that? And it goes on to say, well, what about the ones who didn't receive the reward right then? He said, when you saw me hungry, you didn't feed me. You saw me thirsty, you didn't give me something to drink. You saw me sick and you didn't help me. Generosity is a way of life that in part embodies how Jesus would be if he was still here on this earth. And we are to model it in how we live. You see that? See, God is entirely interested in those in need. But he's also entirely interested in those who have a generous heart towards those people. That we find reasons to say yes. Well, you're a stranger. Get out of here. Really? Huh, that's interesting. You're in prison. You must deserve to be there. Well, you're hungry. You must be lazy. Huh. Notice Jesus doesn't qualify any of this. He doesn't say, hey, you're in prison. You deserve to be there. Nobody visits you. You're in prison. Who will visit? For the one that is in need, hungry, well, let's find out why you're hungry. He's, no, you just help the hungry. You're a stranger. I don't know about you. Look, you sound and look different than me. I don't know. Just invite the stranger in. See, the nations are judged this way. But then it comes down to the individual actions of the nations, the people. Generous heart. So for all I know, for every $3 or $5, $2, whatever's in my pocket and when I was in Carlisle, I was doing that as it was Jesus. And that was not clicking in my brain at the time, I'll be honest with you. I was doing it for him. Let me tell you something. The person that came in, and let's say it was $3 bills in my pocket, that did not fix their life. Not even close. But maybe it was just a momentary reprieve to let them take the next step. Right? Maybe it was a momentary reprieve to bring some hope that day that was not there. Maybe, just maybe, in that moment, that person said, maybe God does actually care. I realized that the vast majority of my generosity in life didn't entirely change somebody's situation. But yet I've realized that I can't qualify what God can do with it. And he will do more than I can comprehend in those kind of moments. See, you have to have, look, listen to me. You have to have eyes to see and ears to hear. I can be generous. I'm content. They don't drive my life. I don't need more. So I can be generous. But then you can still walk on by. You can still ignore what you see. You can have eyes to see and ears to hear in a way that God would see and hear. You know, a lot of times in the Gospels, Jesus was interrupted. He's walking somewhere, and a blind guy starts to yell out. Disciples are like, hey, shush, quiet, don't bother him. Interrupted what he was doing. What'd he do? Eyes to see, ears to hear. The kids are bugging him. Disciples, get the kids away from him. Their kids are a bother. No. Jesus, you're busy. Look at all the people that are waiting to hear from you. They can wait. Bring the kids to me. Jesus was often interrupted when ministry flowed. That you have eyes to see and ears to hear what's around you. So those guys walking in off the highway, look, I had stuff to do. I could have closed my door. I could have very easily shut my door because there was an office next to me with somebody sitting there. Let this be their problem today. You see what I'm getting at? It's all about what you will do in your life as you're able to be led by the Spirit in situations that just come up. And the generous heart, listen to me, I'm telling you, and then you simply just feel good. Man, that $5 was for my lunch. So what? I'm going to put gas in my car. I'll just go home and get money from her. How many know what I'm talking about? See, when you become so worried about what you have that you can't give, you realize when you do what you're supposed to do, God provides. Think about it. I can't afford to give this $5 up. You gave it. God saw it. God provides. As we'll get to in a couple weeks, you know what he does? He supplies seed to the who? The sower. You sow, he supplies. That's how it goes. But so worried and anxious, and maybe not worried and anxious, just greedy. I earned this. They didn't. I get what's mine, and they're just getting what they deserved. Greedy heart. You push past these things to be generous. Amen? Amen. All right, so first step today, generosity. At this time, if we can have the ushers come forward, we're going to close out by partaking of communion today. Provision of God starts with our understanding of the table of the Lord. bread represented the body of Jesus. The cup represented of the blood of Jesus. See, God provided the way to him. God provided our salvation. God provided a body to face the wage of sin, which is death, in my place. God provided the blood of that sacrificial lamb, the sinless one, so I can be forgiven. All this for me. You know why? Because God is generous. The generosity of God, while I was lost in my sin, has paved the way for my eternity. See, you know why you give a drink to the thirsty and food to the hungry? You know why you clothe the stranger? You know why you visit the one in prison even though they're convicted and should be there? Because while I was still a sinner, God loved me and provided for me. You know why I invite the stranger in? Because in my sin, I was a stranger to God. See? And it comes down through my salvation, listen to me, into a new perspective in how I see people. I'm very bothered by people who claim to be Christians, who categorize, shame, and mock other people. It bugs me. Because what it means to me is they don't understand this. You claim a status of Christianity, but it never got to your heart. Because I don't know about you, but I don't deserve this. I don't deserve it. But it's the wellspring of generosity of my Savior that I can partake. And he welcomes me in. And all my deficiencies. And all the places I fall short. And all the places I know something, but I really don't. And then he calls me his own. My goodness. That's what this means. Now, you don't have to this morning, but if you wish to participate in communion, you can make your way down and pick up the elements and go back to your seat. We'll partake together in just a minute. Thank you. that he would take our place on a cross, that he would pay the wage of sin, which is death, that he would be the sacrifice once and done, no more need for any more. Thank you, Jesus, for taking our place, for taking my place, for willingly, God in flesh, dying for me. Thank you. And today, Lord, we partake of your supper in remembrance of what you did 2,000 years ago that changed the entire course of human history. Thank you. So wonderful, so good. Thank you. So as we partake of the bread this morning, we do so in remembrance of your death on the cross. Let's partake together. And Lord, in these little cups, it's grape juice. Symbolic of your blood. Takes care of my sins. Washes me clean. Wipes it all out. Able to hit the reset button in my life. Thank you. There's no other way we find a forgiveness of sins. No other way. But through the blood of Jesus. So we partake of the cup this morning in remembrance of your blood shed on that cross. Let's partake together. If you would, just for a moment, thank him for the provision of your salvation in your life. Thank him for the generosity of his willingness to die for you, to love you while you were yet still a sinner, the generosity to call you home, claim you as one of his own. We thank you, Lord, for that. And in it we stand, and in it we live, and in it is new life. I thank you, Lord. There's by no other way we can be saved, no other way, but through your work on the cross. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. You are worthy of our praise. You are worthy of our honor. You're worthy of following you all the days of our life. Worthy of learning from you. Worthy of lives being changed according to your will. We thank you. We all these things in your glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, be blessed as you go today. Be generous this week. Be generous. We'll get back next week and keep talking about this, but have a wonderful, wonderful week as you go. See you Wednesday. See you next Sunday.